Welcome back, Michael Ryan Thomas. It is For Love of Food. It's saverlife.com. Get more details on my other shows. Also, I'm part of Rochester FoodNet, and you should check out their website periodically to see what's new. And just September 20th, a couple weeks ago, Karen Cross Smith posted Applesauce Made Easy article, and there are a number of ways to make applesauce. You can use a microwave, you can use the stove, but it's amazingly easy to make and delicious and fun to experiment with different varieties of apples. So check out her article and make some applesauce. There's tons of apples available. You can go pick your own, and again, experiment with some different varieties, and you can, you know, make it as sweet or not sweet as you like. You can add as much cinnamon or other spices as you like, or maybe none. Maybe it's all about the apples. And again, it's so easy to do. You might want to get one of the little peeling tools, and these are, I don't know when they were first invented, but it was a long time ago, and they're still available. I think Lombardi's carries them, although this time of the year they may sell out, so I would call first if you're just going for this. And places like Cook's World might have them. But they are, it's basically this tool you mount to a countertop and just, you know, temporarily, and then you stick the apple in, you know, on this skewer basically, and then turn it. And it's got a little blade that takes the skin off and also basically cores it at the same time. It's very simple machine, very, you know, it's not electric, it's a human powered machine. And once you do that, you'll be making more applesauce, because that's the key, is peeling the apples. So, again, check out, they're not very expensive. They'll last forever. And I don't know, we use one that I got decades ago. So make some applesauce and check out RochesterFoodNet.com and get some more details on your applesauce options. There are lots of them. And similarly, Karen did an article in August about radishes and all the different ways you can use radishes. You know, a lot of people I've talked to said, you know, radishes are too spicy, they're too strong. And for one thing, there are many different radishes. And when I was at the Brighton Farmers Market last Sunday, Todd Lighthouse had half a dozen different types of radishes. But a lot of it is in how you use them. So you can roast some, you can sort of julienne them, dice them into smaller bits so they're not as strong, but add a really nice spice flavor. They're very nutritious. But ask Todd about some of the different varieties that he carries, which are the mildest. Maybe you want one that's stronger. He's got big black radishes, which are kind of wild looking. So check out the world of the radish and, again, read Karen Cross Smith's article about them. And it'll get you thinking about ways to use them. They're pretty inexpensive. They're really easy to grow yourself. They're one of the fastest maturing vegetables you can grow. It's generally like 29 days and you'll have radishes, which means if we have a late fall and winter doesn't come early like it did last year, you could potentially plant radishes now in an area that gets sun. That would be helpful, and still be able to harvest them this year. Again, it depends on when winter arrives. And last year it was very early, which means, you know, it'll probably be late this year. And maybe your radishes will mature. I mean, it's just a few seeds, so it's not like it's a big risk that you're taking. But you know, Todd Lighthouse has one of the best selections of radishes that I've seen, and also Felon's Family Farms, they posted that they're bringing some Huckeri radishes and purple top I think it was Purple Top Radishes, to the Brighton Farmers Market tomorrow. So the Hakurai ones, those, or sorry, Hakurai turnips, not Hakurai radishes. The Hakurai turnips are, they look like a radish. They're white, they're round, maybe a little bit bigger than a radish, but not spicy like a radish. And so we've grown to love sautéing them. Just cut them up into quarters or half them if they're not that big. And you can cook the greens as well, sauté the greens. And they really caramelize nicely, these Hakurai turnips. So look for those at the Brighton Market. Felon's Family Farm says they should have quite a few. And they've posted some great photos on Instagram of their farm and their fields of one of radishes, which they must have a million radishes out in that field. In some long rows. So explore some of these vegetables maybe that you haven't used much before. Kohlrabi, celeriac. I saw someone post something about Jerusalem artichokes. And get some and ask the farmer what they normally do when they cook them. Look them up online. You'll find a million different options and explore some of these lesser known vegetables and fruits. Perhaps maybe you haven't had a Asian pear. They are crisp like an apple. They're kind of a tan, I don't know, it's hard to, tannish green color on the outside. And a really refreshing, crisp inside. And those are becoming available. I saw one farm posting about them this past week. Also, it's hard cider week in the Finger Lakes. So there are a lot of events and things. Not as many as there would have been, but there are some events and things. And you should use it as an excuse to explore the world of hard cider, which has a lot of roots here in our area, partly because of all the apple orchards that were here pre-prohibition, and the fact that hard cider was safe to drink and water often wasn't in those days. Hard cider really was just disappeared after prohibition. Or during Prohibition, and it didn't really make a comeback until recently, although it's been something commonly found in Europe and in France. It has just been rediscovered here. England also, they've been drinking lots of hard cider, and we went to beer and wine, and we forgot about hard cider. It's kind of strange, actually. Bellwether hard cider was one of the first. Eves, I think, was the first one in the Finger Lakes a couple decades ago. And now we have many hard cider producers and Muller's Cider House in downtown Rochester. There are dozens of hard cider producers in the Finger Lakes. And so this is not, if you haven't tasted hard cider, it's not Applejack. It's not high alcohol. It's more similar to beer. And there are, each of the hard cider producers has a bunch of different hard ciders for you to try. So you can go visit them, Blue Toad and Embark Craft Hard Cider, and there's Seed and Stone. There's lots of them out there, Rootstock Hard Cider. So look for them, and you'll find them in some grocery stores and stores like Abundance and Lori's carry some of the hard ciders. Some of them are semi-dry. Some of them are dry. Some of them are very fizzy, very sparkly. There's lots of options in hard cider. The Finger Lakes Cider House especially cool place to visit if you want to explore the world of hard cider, because there's five, maybe six producers that collaborated. They're originally five. There may be a sixth one now, but five hard cider producers who collaborated on a tasting room. And so there are maybe 25 different hard ciders at the Finger Lakes Cider House for you to explore. And those are the Cider House is kind of near Trumansburg, and it's between, it's a little closer to Cayuga Lake, maybe, and all of an hour and 20 minutes from Rochester, something like that. A bunch of wineries along the route there, a couple distilleries in that area. And one of the newer wineries that opened in that area just a couple years ago is Beth the Farm, which has been around a long time, but was located with a tasting room in Aurora on the east side of Cayuga Lake. They are now, as of a couple years ago, on the west side near Trumansburg and not far from from Finger Lakes Cider House. So Beth the Farm, again, a winery with a new tasting room and their big blue barn has some really outstanding sparkling wine if they haven't sold out of it, and a couple new varieties or newer varieties of grapes that they use, like Traminette. They've been making several different Traminettes for quite a few years. Also, they make Dornfelder, which there are only a few producers of in the Finger Lakes. So I think Redtail Ridge, maybe, and Fulkerson. There's only two others that I know of that make a Dornfelder, which is a red, a dry red. Oh, betthefarmny.com. You can get details on them. And again, make sure to visit the Finger Lakes Cider House at some point. Really, some fantastic hard ciders. Also, this week I stopped in at Matilda, the new cafe where Starry Nights was located. This is a collaboration of Fuego Coffee and Unter Biergarten. And they've done a beautiful job renovating. Tony from Fuego was in when I stopped in this past week. And one of their specialty drinks, and he said he sort of, you know, it's kind of like chai with different flavors. And chai has a lot of sort of pumpkin pie spices and things in it, and everything's pumpkin spice this time of the year. So if you want to get away from that, you should try this this lavender fennel, you know, sort of chai-like drink at Fuego. Two really strong flavors. So I had to get one just to see what they would do, because I've had lavender in desserts, in cream, and fennel is another really strong flavor that I don't really use at all in cooking. So so lavender fennel just was intriguing, and so subtly done, just perfect. You could certainly tell there was lavender and some fennel in it, but they blended beautifully, and it was delicious. So look for that lavender fennel drink at Fuego. They, of course, have some awesome coffee and a lot of other things. They're not doing the affogato happy hour that they've been doing at their main location, which I find all kinds of excuses to be in that area between 3 and 5 o'clock when they do their affogato happy hours, when it's $3 instead of, I guess, maybe $5 normally. But delicious espresso and some of their soft ice cream combination for their affogato. And so that's just at the original Fuego location. But the new Matilda cafe is bright. They changed it around pretty drastically, moved the kitchen, sort of switched the kitchen and the seating areas, and So there's a ton of work in there, and it's beautiful. And I had a breakfast sandwich. They serve that all day. They have avocado toast. They have quite a variety of things to eat. But the breakfast sandwich was filling. It had the thickest piece of cheese nicely melted that I've had on, I think, any breakfast sandwich. And given that I love cheese, that was much appreciated. But love the English muffin that it was done on. And really, it was a spectacular breakfast sandwich. There's a lot of sort of mediocre breakfast sandwiches. There's some really good ones, and this one was one of the best I've had. Rochester Food Net's been visiting places, tasting breakfast sandwiches, and you can check out the website and go back over the last year of the posts. Each month, a different breakfast sandwich place. So not much time left in 2020. I don't know that we'll get to Matilda to review them, but I got one when I stopped in, and it was really excellent. So they serve that all day, but quite a few other food options available there. So Fuego's location downtown does not have many food options, but they do have delicious desserts, cookies, and things from Red Fern and a couple other producers. But Matilda, again, where Starry Nights was located, has some pastries from Amazing Grains in Fairport. And so I got a cheese Danish from them, which the cheese Danish and the lavender fennel drink, it was a hot drink, were pretty spectacular combination. So Matilda is open. You should stop in and check it out. Let me know what you have. And it's, again, such a key location, right near the Memorial Art Gallery and Neighborhood of the Arts. It's great to have that space reopened. Starry Nights did a nice job with it for many years. Really, it was a lot of music. I'm not sure if Matilda is going to have live music. Didn't ask him about that. And of course, it's challenging to do live music with the coronavirus. But they may well have some in the future. They do have outdoor seating there, which is really nice. And it's just a beautiful time of the year to hang out outside and have a coffee or tea or their lavender fennel drink. And so, again, if you've been somewhere recently that's new or reopening, let me know. I also posted on Instagram for Rochester Food Net about El Latino. Got their roast pork earlier this week and hadn't been there in a little while. They're doing takeout only, but that roast pork is outrageously good. It's a roast pulled pork, and it get the small that they offer. It's enough for two people. It comes with rice and beans, and just a fantastic a bargain dish. And they had some sweet plantains, so I got actually a half serving of those, which is still quite a few. As like $3 the. The roast pork small serving was $5.50, something like that. Under $10 is basically dinner for two, unless you're really, really hungry. And I've been to El Latino because I live nearby. I've been there dozens of times over quite a few years, and I've never been able to eat their small portion of the roast pork myself in one seating. And I can eat quite a bit. So, again, great bargain and really nice people. Claire and Tony, the owners, their staff, really nice. They have a lot of other dishes you can try, and you should try some of the others, but make sure to get a roast pork, at least one of those. Along with some of the other things. So again, one of the best bargains in Rochester. And I've been driving around the Finger Lakes in general quite a bit over the last several weeks, and I was just at Gentles Farm Market a few days ago. All kinds of great fruits and vegetables right now, gourds and pumpkins, the crazy varieties, and all kinds of different squash. It's such a colorful time of year to go to the farmers markets and the farm markets. I stopped in at Sunscape Farms up in Greece. They have also one in Penfield, sort of South Webster, North Penfield on Creek Street. But the one on Maiden Lane in the Red Barn on Maiden Lane said that they were going to be harvesting more corn and expected to have some sweet corn available through mid-October. So I'm headed there today to see if they still have some sweet corn. Generally, by now, it's no longer available. Gentles had just picked the last of it earlier this week. And I'm guessing Powers Farm Market is done with it. They usually are about this time of the year, but I haven't been there to check that out. So let me know if you go whether they still have some, but I'm going up to Sunscape Farms and get some of the last of their sweet corn today. And it's almost crazy how many different fruits and vegetables and things you have to choose from. And each of these farm markets and farmers markets has a different selection. And so as I've been encouraging people all year long, go to as many farm markets and farmers markets as you can. A lot of the neighborhood farmers markets and the smaller ones will be wrapping up over the next week or two at most. Usually by mid-October, they are done for the season just because it's getting colder, darker, and then daylight savings time comes. So of course, the Rochester Public Market, the Brighton Market, those will continue. But a lot of the other ones will be shutting down. So try to get to them before their seasons end and stock up on some things, maybe some things you can use as gifts or you can freeze for the winter. Take advantage of all these great outdoor markets. And if you discover some cool ones, email me and let me know. I saw a post from, I think, Green Acres up in Greece, or maybe they're Hilton, but that they had these corn stalks that were 12 feet long that they were selling. And you can buy corn stalks usually, and they're usually about 6 feet tall, but they have this variety of corn that's just gets much taller. And so they have these 12-foot stalks of corn, which are going to be more challenging to put in your car. Keep that in mind. The 6 foot ones fit in pretty nicely in most cars, but 12 feet, that's going to be a little challenging. So you might not want to go on the highway with those corn stalks, halfway sticking out your windows as you're driving home. But it sounded intriguing. You might have to go get some of these big, massive corn stalks. So you never know what you'll find. I did see Gentles Farm Market this time of the year often has fried cakes, donuts from Schutz Apple Farm along with their apple cider. And just a note on apple cider. The big grocery stores, the big, sort of factory producers of stuff, they sell apple cider. And it's okay, but try the apple cider from Red Jacket or Schutz or Herd Orchards or Kirby's, any of our local farms and try them side by side. You only need to do this once and you will probably, only buy stuff from the local farms in the future. It is so much better, really a night and day difference. The cider from the big grocery stores looks good and it tastes okay, but the cider from our local farms it may be the pasteurization. So there are two different ways to pasteurize cider. and they have to pasteurize it. You can do it slowly at lower temperatures, or you can do it quickly at higher temperatures. And my guess, and from articles I've written, is that the huge producers that send it to the grocery stores do the high-temperature pasteurization. The local farms tend to do a low-temperature, longer pasteurization, and it preserves more flavor. And occasionally I'll be at an event in the past, fewer events this year, but an event that has some cider, and it'll be from one of the big grocery stores, and so I'll try it. And it's like, this is why I get cider from our local farms, because it just tastes better. So do a side-by-side just to see what you think and let me know. You can email me, michael@savorlife.com. But it's like everything else. You produce something in really large quantities, and you give up some of the flavor. That goes with many of the things that we consume. So, and it's also about the apple varieties and things that are used. Some of the farms use some pears in their apple cider. It's kind of fascinating, really. And you can get specific Honeycrisp hard cider, or not hard cider, but regular sweet cider. Red Jacket Farms had a Honeycrisp cider, which it was good. I kind of like a general sweet cider, I guess, even more than the Honeycrisp one. But that's why you go to these places. You can try these different options. So again, let me know where you go, what you discover. You can email me, michael@savorlife.com, and enjoy this beautiful fall weather. I mentioned on the gardening show this morning that the East Bloomfield Historic Society is having a yard sale today. So maybe that's an excuse to go down to East Bloomfield and then maybe go down to Naples, get some grape pie, and just kind of see some of the fall colors. Beautiful day to do that. Let me know what you find. Again, email me, michael@savorlife.com. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes this morning, and then it's the Grapevine tomorrow, 9 a.m. here at savorlife.com. Have a great day.